All right, we're talking about faith and healing, divine healing. And we've seen that we can trust God based on his word, that Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed people. How many know Jesus is still moved with compassion? So his heart has not changed, so we can have an expectation of him. We've seen the character of God, that God reveals himself as Jehovah, the God who heals you. So that's part of his name. It's part of his nature. And don't ever, ever make the I am into the I was. He still is the healer today. We saw that God, through Jesus at the cross, provided redemptive healing for us. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, Jesus was healing people, and the Holy Spirit said, this is how we should interpret Isaiah 53, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Aren't you glad he did? And we saw last week that our response to God, knowing this incredible information, is that we trust him. We have faith in his nature. We have faith in his work. And throughout the Bible, human response to God is a vital biblical part of receiving healing. All right. We saw in Numbers 21 that when the children of Israel were snake bitten because of their own sin, God provided a way for them to be healed. Numbers 21:9, Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. All right, did Moses just lift up the snake and power came out of the bronze snake? Mm-mm. You had to look. You had to look on purpose. You had to look in faith. All right. When Jesus was on the earth, the number one thing he said at the conclusion of a healing was this statement: according to your faith, be it unto you. Jesus could have said 100 different things that would have all been true. He could have said, because of my love. He could have said, because my character is to heal. He could have said lots and lots of things that we would have thought, awesome, wonderful. But what he emphasized over and over again was, according to your faith, be it unto you. We saw that the vast majority of the healings in the Gospels were not initiated by Jesus. They were initiated by the sick person or an advocate for the sick person. That's the Gospels. That's what we see in the Word of God. Jesus didn't wake up one day and say, hey, Peter, round me up some lepers today. This will be awesome. No, the lepers came. The single leper guy came, right? The centurion said, Jesus, come and heal my servant who's at home, all right? So our trust in God is incredibly vital. We saw that the very first healing miracle after Jesus went to the Father, after he ascended, was in Acts chapter 3. And so the man at the beautiful gate that was paralyzed from birth was healed. And when Peter was explaining that to the crowd and then later to the Jewish leaders, he made this statement about why and how this man got healed. He said, this man was healed because of his name, the name of Jesus, and faith in his name. His name and faith in his name has made this man whole. All right. So two things: the work of Jesus, the authority that's in the name of Jesus, and then faith in that name. Whose faith? People's faith. All right. So what this shows is this is an invitation to us. All right. There are not 100 million boxes that we have to tick off. We trust him And we go to him. And I'm loving hearing testimonies in the last couple of weeks of families that are praying for each other quicker and praying for strangers. And we're seeing God do amazing things in our families and as we leave this church building. Amen. Somebody that was prayed for last week, I haven't heard a ton of, not a lot of people have given me feedback, but somebody said, man, I came forward, I could hardly breathe, and now I can just breathe wonderfully, and it's all gone. All the respiratory problems are finished. His name and faith in his name. All right, so we trust God. So the question today is, and we want to look at this biblically, and I hope that you find help today, because many, many, many Christians have some misunderstandings around this and some misapplication of this. And the misapplication has some really, really tough consequences. Is while I'm trusting God and I look to him, what about doctors? What about medicine? What about my diet? Is any of that important? Is any of that biblical? And what role does that have? Is the Bible silent? Okay? Because there are, what I've seen in the last 40 years of being around churches and people that trust God for divine healing, I've seen two extremes. One extreme is, and I heard a guy say this, that he would call himself a cessationist, meaning that all miracles stopped at Acts 28. Done. Okay? You know, remember at Acts 28, it says all miracles stop. Oh, that's right. It's not in the Bible. Never said that. Okay. So, but what he said is because of advances in medical science and things, God doesn't need to heal people anymore. Okay. I really can't believe someone with a PhD can utter such ignorance. But he did. All right. So there's an extreme of only way that I'm going to get better is through doctors and medicine. That's the only way that God will use. The other extreme is that if I'm trusting God and I'm, you know, receiving healing during communion and we've prayed at home and I'm looking to God, then that means going to a doctor is a lack of faith. It's sinful. It's wrong. And if I do that, then God won't heal me. Or the way I'm going to prove to God that I'm trusting him is I'm going to take all my medicine, I'm going to flush it down the toilet. You see, God, I'm trusting you now. Is that biblical? All right. And I believe both extremes are going to not help us in any way. All right. But why don't we see what God says? Amen. Why don't we open our Bible while we're thinking about, along these lines, okay? So what does the Bible say about this, okay? So I want to look at a number of points that we can see of how God designed some things, what we could say, in the natural world and our bodies that promote healing and promote wellness and promote us walking away from sickness and disease. All right. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So what we're going to see that I believe the Bible clearly, clearly states is that the same God who heals supernaturally. Okay, now, how many of you would agree God heals supernaturally from the Bible? I mean, it is from cover to cover. So the same God who heals supernaturally has instituted natural laws and natural ways that also promote healing and health. The same God. And so what I invite you to leave this place is, it's not either or, it's both at the same time. Both at the same time. All right. So first of all, number one, God created our bodies. Well, before we make another phrase, how many of you agree God created our bodies? All right. God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. God formed us. We are created in his image. And then he breathed into him the breath of life. And then Eve, God took a part of Adam and fashioned her. So out of the same stuff. And that's what Adam said. This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. That is showing gender equality. Same stuff. Amen? Different hairstyles. Different functions in the family. But the same stuff. Amen? All right. So God created us. But how did he create our bodies? He created our bodies that we have amazing self-healing capacity. It blows my mind. And now you don't have to have gone to medical school to know this. Is that when you cut yourself with a little cut, when I was dating my wife, she was at work and I was in the kitchen and I cut my finger cutting food. Next thing I know, I fainted on the floor because I saw my own blood. I bled my own blood. All right. For real. Okay. That's why I'm a pastor and not a doctor. Okay. It was this finger. I can't find it. How did that happen? What, did I get anointed with oil? No. My body just fixed it on its own without me doing anything. I cleaned it, but I just left it alone. And so who made our bodies to do that? God, Jehovah Rapha. God, our provider. All right. So Romans chapter 1:20 says, for his invisible attributes, God, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. Everyone say clearly. Ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. So God's character is on display in his creation. So the fact that our bodies have limited power to heal themselves, who did that? God did that. That shows his character. Is that he wants us well. He wants our bodies to be mended because he designed them to be that way. Amen. So cuts, infections, antibodies in our chemistry, immune system, all of that was designed by God. How many of you have ever eaten spoiled food? Spoiled food is coming out. It's not going to stay in your body where it can harm you. All right? And as Blondie sang in the 70s, one way or another. All right? It's coming out. Happened to my wife a few weeks ago. Who designed that to happen? God did. Because I don't even understand how it happens. But he said, let's get that poison, that yuck out of your body so it's not going to hurt and harm you. Amazing that God does that. All right. This is a clinical study by, in the United States, the National Institute of Health. So this is not a pastor's conference. These are not theologians. These are scientists. The human body has tremendous self-healing capacity and regeneration after injuries and pathogen invasions. Who did that? Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. Okay, now secondly, decisions that you and I make in our life can either enhance our body's ability to heal or can hinder our body's ability to heal. Decisions that we make. Not God, not the devil, not somebody else, but decisions that we make. Here's just a few fun facts. The number one cause of heart disease is stress. Well, the devil stressed me out. No. That you can change that tomorrow. All right. Well, not maybe tomorrow. Maybe it takes a few weeks. All right. The number one cause of type 2 diabetes, obesity and inactivity. Who decides if you're obese? You do. And I know sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I'm just big boned. I'm just big boned. Well, here's the problem. The problem is not the bone. It's what's on the bones. All right. You can be big boned and smaller in your body. All right. Number one cause of type 2 diabetes. Number one cause of lung cancer and emphysema. Smoking tobacco. 83% of HIV transmissions are through sexual activity. 83%. And we probably know that in Lusaka more than most places in the world. For real, right? Okay. And I understand there are people that, you know, they've contracted HIV through blood transfusions and other ways. There are people that have contracted HIV while being faithful in a marriage, but somebody else wasn't faithful. All right. And if something happened in your past before you knew Jesus or when you were backslid, thank God there is redemption. Amen. But that's a human factor, isn't it? That's a human factor. All right. Recently, a doctor told me within the last 2 months. All right. And he said, I'd like to see this condition change in your body. And he said, I'm telling you, you need to lose weight and you need to exercise more. He didn't say, bind it, curse it. All right. Now, am I trusting God? Yes. But the doctor is telling me there's some things that I can do in the natural that will promote health, that will promote recovery. Now, how foolish would I be if I say, get thee behind me, Satan. It's broken over my life. Okay. No, I'm trusting God and I'm exercising more. A little bit more, at least. Okay. So these are choices, choices. Okay. Do we believe in supernatural intervention? 100%. But some of these are not about supernatural intervention. I don't know if you've seen some of the YouTubes or the reels where, you know, charismatic Pentecostal services where the pastor says, you know, put your hand on your fat and curse those fat cells. All right. And see, here's the thing is charismatics, they go to service like that and they curse the fat cells. And then they go home and eat 2 T-bone steaks, pork chops, and deep fried sloppy chips. You really don't have to curse the fat cells. They're not cursable. Okay? There's a lifestyle adjustment that we can make. All right? So there are practices that promote health. There are practices that hinder health. Okay? There are foods that help health and foods that hinder health, or the amounts of them or the proportions of those things. You know, when God designed our bodies, he put Adam and Eve on a farm, right? And he commissioned them to work, all right? So our bodies are not going to be so healthy if all we do all day long is sit at a desk and then go home and sit in front of a TV. That's not going to promote health. All right. So we can make some adjustments and changes. All right. The Bible prescribes lifestyle decisions that promote health. The Bible. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. This is speaking to Timothy, pastor, young guy. Love, love, love Timothy. That's why we have a firstborn son named Timothy. All right. Verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. And here's the every way. As it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. There is some wonderful truth in that verse. Okay? So 2 points. Godliness benefits you for eternal life, yes? But it also says godliness benefits you in this present life, this natural life. There was a study done by the Harvard Medical School, and they found a huge amount of research, lots of data, and they found a factor that causes men to live 3 years longer. Now, if you're a man, you'd think, sign me up, right? This is a decision, a lifestyle decision. And here it is. Men who are married in a monogamous heterosexual relationship live 3 years longer than their counterparts. 3 years longer than single men, 3 years longer than homosexual men, 3 years longer than widowed or divorced men. Men, do I have your attention? All right. Who decides that? You decide that. Amen? You want to die early? Have a side chick. You want to live longer? Come to Marriage Builders. Get marriage counseling. You've had a few potholes in your marriage? Fix it. Because you will live longer on this earth. Not says the preacher, says Harvard Medical School. Ever heard of it? Okay. Now, so this is amazing. So I'm thinking, I like to be married. I want to stay married. But godliness promotes these things. When I was seeing the doctor and he was giving me that prescription of exercising more, of losing some weight, he asked me, he says, do you drink alcohol? I said, no. He said, do you drink a little alcohol? I said, no. This was a South African doctor, so he couldn't believe that I don't drink a little alcohol. All right. I said, no. And he just asked me, he says, why not? And so I gave him the reasons why not. And so a doctor that I didn't see that he was a believer or whatever, religious, but he said, that's a good choice. Good choice. A doctor, not a preacher, for my health. All right. Now I got a number of other reasons other than my health. All right. So there are decisions that we make. Now, this verse also says that bodily exercise has some value. Some value. Now, what it doesn't have is eternal value, right? But that means that the value it has is for this present life. So the Bible says bodily exercise is good for your present life. So if it's not in your lifestyle, put it in your lifestyle. Okay? And I'm talking about more than once every 3 months when your workplace has a Saturday morning thing at East Park and you wear tight clothes and right? And that's about it. That's not even exercise, all right? And then you leave the parking lot and then you go hammer a full English breakfast. Whew, man, I'm tired. All right. So be active. Put it into your life. Work on a farm, walk around the block, chase your little kids, do whatever you need to do, all right? Another thing we see from the Word of God is that the Bible prescribes public health practices. Public health. So, in a sense, kind of community things. Things that we all should be doing, okay? And again, this is a secular quote here. Leviticus is the first written health code in human civilization. The book of Leviticus. When God says, eat this, don't eat that. You have this, go outside the camp, dig a hole, put it down, burn this, all that. So the first written health code in human civilization. And it took thousands of years for science to catch up with Leviticus. Who did that? Jehovah Rapha. Why did he do that? Because he wants his people healthy. He wants his people healthy. Now, is this the same God that healed them in the wilderness? Yes. The same God that heals people in the wilderness is the same God that says, if you do these things, no angels, no oil, no supernatural anything, it will keep you from sickness. It will keep you from disease. Now, you and I kind of, that's kind of a normal thing for us these days, right? Your water source and what you eat, and be careful of these 8 brands of mealy meal that might have mold, and right? Right? So we're kind of used to this, but God is the one who invented this. He invented it because he didn't want sickness to spread. And so he gave rules about food preparation, waste management, water treatment, contagious disease. All right. So God is involved in supernatural intervention and natural prevention. God Almighty. So again, it's not a choice between two. It is not either or, but it was both. And this was not done by an NGO. This was not done by a government agency. This was done by God. He also said, stop working one day a week. Put down your tools, get out of, go, leave the plot, and enjoy your family. Eat, have a wonderful time, and rest one day a week. Rest from your work. Now, I do want to give an exhortation. In order for you to rest from work means you have to be working. Okay? There are people, they've been resting for 10 years. Okay, so we need you to get going doing something to be active with your hands and your mind. Okay? But God knew in the flow of our life for us to work all the time was going to be harmful to us. All right? Pastor Haley and I are accountable to the Miracle Life Board to take one day off a week where we don't work. Now, it's hard for us because we actually enjoy working, all right? We enjoy what we do, well, sometimes. I can't really lie in church or lie at home, okay. most of the time, we love what we do, but they said, stop for 24 hours, and we're accountable, and we have to tell them if we're violating that or not, all right? It promotes health, promotes sleep. It promotes lowering your stress. Who invented that? God invented that. He was the one who invented work-life balance. Every week. All right? So these principles only benefit you when you follow them. So be wise. Be smart. Okay? And we also see, and I believe this is a scripture that shows that God endorses medical intervention. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. Again, Timothy, God is giving wonderful instruction to this young minister. 1 Timothy 5:23. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Okay. Now, this is not that different than if someone, if they saw that you were fluish and they said, man, you need to make some ginger tea and put lemon and honey in it. Okay? What, meaning this will probably help promote health. Right? Different things. Put this in your food or do whatever. So this is kind of health advice because of Timothy. He was having consistent stomach problems, all right? So this is not unusual to receive this kind of wisdom or advice from well-wishers or things. Here's the deal. This is in the Bible. This made it into the canon of Scripture. This means it is God-breathed. God allowed this to be in Scripture that it is possible to have something that's going to promote health. By you ingesting it, by you bringing it into your body, it will promote health. Commentator John Stott said this: wine was widely recognized in the ancient world as having medicinal properties. Several medical authorities of that age prescribed wine as a tonic and as a remedy, especially in relation to indigestion. Why? Your stomach's sake. Okay, so if you were reading this in that day, all right, this was not an excuse for Christians to get drunk. Right? How many of you know you can't get drunk on a little wine? Okay. This was not for a social setting. All right. This was take medicine. Now here's the thing about wine in that day and in our day. Wine is a human creation. It does not occur naturally. Now, obviously, it comes from grapes, but there is a systematic process that turns grape juice into wine that has alcohol in it. Would you agree? All right. So there's something that a human did to make something useful. All right. We call those things today prescription medicine. Now, are they magical? No. Are there some side effects to certain medicines? Yes. Are some of those side effects not so great? Yes. All right. And so we must be wise. We must be careful. The whole idea of prescription medicine means someone else prescribed it, not you. Okay. And someone who's smarter than you and went to school a lot longer than you. Okay. But there are things that can help us. And the Bible endorses this. The Bible does. Right? So I believe that this is an occasion that Paul is not negating healing and miracles. Did Paul believe in healings and miracles? Big time. Okay, they were part of his ministry. He wrote about the gifts of the Spirit to the church at Corinth. Talked about the power of God, all right, in his ministry. He also told a friend to take medicine. The same Paul, the same Holy Spirit that says, call for the elders of the church, they'll anoint them with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick, right? The Lord will raise them up. The same God, the same Holy Spirit said, take medicine. I believe this clearly shows that the Bible endorses medical science and medical intervention, while at the same time being clear about divine healing. All right. When Pastor Haley and you walked with us during this time in February of 2022, does a test comes back and says there's cancer in your body. All right. We felt specifically led. Happened to be at Winter Bible Seminar at Rhema, and she said, I'm gonna talk to Mrs. Hagen. I said, I'm gonna talk to Pastor Hagen. They were the first people we talked to. And when I talked to Pastor Hagen, now let me say this. Pastor Hagen, who's been praying for the sick longer than you've been alive. Pastor Hagen, who has written dozens and dozens of books about healing. He is a healing guy through and through, all right? And I said, Pastor, I just want you to know we just got a report. Haley's just been diagnosed with cancer. First words out of his mouth to me were not cursed in Jesus' name. He I think he already knew I knew that, all right? I'm like a director for Rhema, so I should kind of know about healing, right? Here's what the first words out of his mouth. He said, you are going to take care of this in the natural too, right? Well, yeah, we had even before we saw them, God had showed us which hospital to go to and what God wanted to do. And because a lot of people ignore natural means and they pay a really high price for it. A really high price for it. Okay, now, I've kind of I've seen a lot of this over the years, but sometimes I wonder, why do Christians do this? Why, when they're trusting God, they kind of see the doctor like the devil? All right? And here's what I think. You know, if we draw a line with sickness and health, so God, from his word, it is so clear. He wants you healthy. He desires that for you. Doctors and nurses, people that are wise with chemicals and prescription medicine that will help you, and that they can set your arm and fix your broken leg. Where are all those people on that line? They're on God's team. They're on God's side of the equation. Who's on the other side? Satan. Lucifer. Who bound Job? Satan. It's really, really clear from Scripture. All right, so all these people, they might not even know God, but they are on God's side of motivation. All right? But here's just a couple thoughts that maybe will help you. Why do Christians avoid doctors? Number one, pride. Because then they don't get to brag about it. You were sick. Well, I went to the mountain. Went to the mountain and fasted for 21 days. And three angels came and cleansed the poison from my body. Right? It's not as fun to say, yeah, I went to the doctor and they gave me pills for 5 days and it's completely cleared. That's not as cool for a charismatic to say that. So sometimes it's just garden vanilla pride. Two, cost. People avoid medical treatment because sometimes it is very, very costly. All right, and that's, I'll let other people discuss that and figure that out. But I believe God can provide. All right, and it is a good investment. Sometimes Christians don't go to the doctor because they have a fear of the unknown. I don't even want to know. I don't want to know what's going on in my body. Well, here's the deal. It's happening. If it's happening, it's happening. You might as well get light. Sometimes what's helpful, for me recently, somebody said, well, it could be this. And that was kind of bad. And then they did some tests and it's not that, it's this. Oh, it's much better. Okay, so it actually helped my wife and I to know actually what's going on and what are the interventions and actually to be specific with what we can pray about. All right, so not going to the doctor and living like the ostrich with your head in the sand is not a great way to stay healthy. All right? So they're going to help you to know what's going on. But then I think this is the biggest one that I've seen, is that people think that avoiding the doctor is a requirement of faith. Okay? Now, we don't really do this in other areas of our life. Okay? So if you are seeking God and say, God, boy, we're trusting you next year for school fees. You've opened a door for one of our kids to go to a better school, a more expensive school. And God, we are trusting you. Okay? You don't trust God and then, and God, watch this. Watch this, God. You quit your job. You kill all the chickens. Destroy all the cattle. Sell your farm. God. This is pretty awesome. You see how I'm walking in faith? That's not faith. That's foolishness. That is unbiblical in every way. Right? So we kind of don't do that in other areas. But some Christians do this when it comes to health and healing and faith. Faith is not expressed by something you do not do to prove yourself to God. Faith is expressed in actions of trust. Okay? What we say, what we are thankful about, steps of obedience. Okay? So while you are trusting God, you can go to the doctor in faith. You can take medicine in faith. Amen. somebody that is with us in Rhema Africa circles, and when my wife was going through chemo, one of the things they prayed over us was, Lord, we thank you that this chemo will kill cancer cells and nothing else. Well, it did kill her hair follicles, all right. And now it's come back so pretty and luscious. All right. But while we're going to the doctor, we have faith in God. Now here's the problem. If you only put your faith in the doctor, you're going to be in trouble because they are limited. All right. And we've got lots of doctors and nurses in our congregation, and they would tell you the very same thing. We can do certain up to a certain level, but God is unlimited. Okay? So I hope this will help you as you implement it in your life. As you implement it in your life. Thank God that He can change the composition of blood and things like that. All right. And if somebody here is HIV positive, I tell you what. Stay on ARVs. Stay on ARVs. Let me say that louder. Stay on ARVs. Okay. As you believe God. And a doctor may tell you, you don't need to do that. Okay. But it's actually criminal for a pastor or a preacher or a prophet to say, throw away your ARVs. All right. They should actually be in jail for negligence. All right. And if somebody would die of that, they're partially responsible. Okay? So my wife and I have had multiple times trusting God, believing God. And then when we go to the doctor, they say, you know what? This is clear. There was another thing with cancer treatment that PH was on. And the doctor said, you know what? You don't need that anymore. All the tests, everything is 100%. It's great. So just don't do that. I'm like, praise God. Amen? All right? So, trust God. Trust God and have a medical scheme. Trust God and exercise. Trust God and use less oil in your cooking. Not everything has to be cooked in oil. Some of you are now you're mad. You weren't mad the whole day until right now. Okay. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. All right. So this God, there's so much from His Word that shows that He wants us to be walking in both realms, trusting Him and walking in great, great wisdom. The Bible says that His plan is that we will live a long life. He'll satisfy us. All right. And the older I get, more that means to me, because there's just a lot to do in life, isn't there? There's a lot of assignments from the Lord, and He wants your body to be strong to be able to do those things. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I'm so grateful that when Paul mentioned that he preached the whole counsel of God. And Father, thank you that we don't have to ignore any part of your word in order to understand a part of it. And so, Father, thank you that we become stronger and stronger in our heart and more clear that you love us and that you care for us. Father, that we become more trusting in you when it comes to health and healing. Father, that you would use us to bless other people and to pray for other people in that regard. But Father, we also thank you that there's great, great natural wisdom that is endorsed by your word that we would put into practice. Father, thank you that you will lead us, that you will guide us, that you will help us, and that you'll lead us on good, good paths for our life. We love you. We bless you. Just while we're praying with heads bowed and eyes closed, one of the things that we've seen during this whole series of health and healing and trusting God is that God loves you. God loves you. and he cares for you. And that care is shown in so many different ways. And he wants to display that kindness to you as a believer. If you're here today and you're not in the family of God, there's wonderful news that you need to hear. God loves you also. God cares for you. And the Bible says he cares so much that he gave his only son for you. Because there's something more important than this life, and it's the next life. It's the life that all of us will enter into when we go through a doorway called death. All of us are going to die. Well, what's on the other side of that door? The Bible's really, really clear. We live forever. We live forever. And those people who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Jesus said, I go to a place so that you can be with me. We're going to be with Jesus. We're going to live in his presence. But the same Bible tells us that people who ignore Jesus and reject Jesus in this lifetime, that will be their eternity. Jesus will not be there. They will be separated from God forever. Now, here's another part of the good news is that that is not what God prepared for you. He doesn't want you to go there. The Bible is super clear. And so Jesus made provision when he died so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be brought into his family. And the Bible says this, that whoever receives Jesus, that God gives those people who receive Jesus the power to become children of God. God wants you in his family today. And if you say, Pastor, I know I'm not in God's family. My life has been a mess, or I've tried religion, or I've tried philosophy. I need to be in God's family. Friend, trust in him today. Reach out to him today. Believe in Jesus. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian. Maybe your life, there was a time in your life where you walked with God, but boy, you made a decision and you walked away from God. And life has been hard and life has been tough. But here's the good news is that the same God that loves you receives you and will cleanse you and will make things right. He received prodigals back. And so you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. I want to be born again, or I need to return from a time of sin and rebellion. Wherever you are in this place, simply lift up your hand. Lift it up real, real high and wave it at me. We'll pray today. God will come into your life. He will make all things new. Thank you over here. God bless you.